Welcome to the Church of England Weekly Podcast. In this week's edition, we hear from the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, about the upcoming week of prayer for Pentecost.
The Archbishop of York and I have invited all churches to just over a week of prayer in the run-up to Pentecost from Ascension Day, because when people come to know Jesus Christ, it is entirely because of the work of God in their lives. It's a gift of the Spirit who opens their eyes and calls them into living faith.
We hear from a group of godparents as they talk about their relationships with their godchildren in the final run-up to celebrating Godparents Sunday on the 1st of May.
I think that my biggest responsibility as a godparent is to pray for my godchild.
And we hear from Steve Williamson, a head teacher in Sunderland, who speaks about being shortlisted for the Pupil Premium Award.
And I suppose because we're a Church of England school and we don't admit or select pupils according to faith or previous attainment, then we're very much reflecting the community around us.
Godparents Sunday has finally arrived. On Sunday the 1st of May, we're encouraging churches across the country to celebrate the gift of godparents and all that they bring into a child's life. We spoke to a group of godparents about why they think the role is so important in a child's development, as well as hearing amazing stories about their own godchildren.
Being a godparent's real privilege. I think that moment when you help and live with a child as they're growing up, but you help them take their part in the life of the church, and you talk to them about faith, which sometimes as parents you can't do, but you know, I'm not the parent, I'm outside it, and so they can talk to you and you can share stuff in a way that's somewhat different. There's little moments that are special. I mean, I've been privileged to have a number of godchildren, and there's just a moment when, you know, you're at a confirmation and you're godchild is making those promises for themselves. I've learnt a lot about what it means for me to be in that connection with a family. But also it's helped me understand my own faith. There's nothing like answering the question why repeatedly from a young child, and you have to then really get to the heart of something to be able to answer the question. You're making huge promises. You're making promises to help the parents as well. And so it's really to have somebody else who can help, who you know is there praying for your child, who will be there in moments of stress or strain and actually help you think.
I think that my biggest responsibility as a godparent is to pray for my godchild and to remember them in my prayers as they grow up, that they would come to know Jesus for themselves. My greatest joy as being a godparent has been watching those children grow in faith, watching them grow up as their parents bring them up in Christian homes and to come to know Jesus for themselves. I also actually really enjoy remembering their birthdays and Christmas and celebrating them at those times. I would encourage people to think about appointing godparents for their children, because as a parent it's quite tough sometimes, and actually to know that you have other people alongside you, spurring you on, spurring your children on to come to know Jesus, I think is a very important thing. For me, I was a godparent before I was a parent, so it's been amazing to watch those families bring up their children to know Jesus, and then to have my own children and be able to do that and choose godparents for my own children.
You can find loads of resources and more ways to celebrate by visiting www.churchsupporthub.org/Godparents Sunday. Thy Kingdom Come is the week of prayer taking place from the 8th to the 15th of May. Both archbishops are calling for a great wave of prayer for evangelism during Pentecost, and we were lucky enough to speak to Archbishop Justin Welby about the prayer initiative. He started by talking about why Archbishop Sentamu and himself were inviting churches to join in a week of prayer.
The Archbishop of York and I have invited all churches to just over a week of prayer in the run-up to Pentecost from Ascension Day, because when people come to know Jesus Christ, it is entirely because of the work of God in their lives. It's a gift of the Spirit who opens their eyes and calls them into living faith. And the only way that happens by the grace of God is that He allows us to participate in that work, initially in prayer. Prayer breaks down the barriers and opens the doors and makes us partners with God in the most extraordinary and amazing and wonderful and beautiful way. So to get involved in prayer is first of all essential, because otherwise nothing will happen. And secondly, an extraordinary privilege to then find that we see God working through the prayers that he's inspired in us.
And what excites you most about Thy Kingdom Come?
I've been thinking about what excites me most about Thy Kingdom Come. And I think, I'll probably change my mind as the weeks go by, but I think it comes in two bits. First, I am amazed and overwhelmed and thrilled that there has been such a big take-up of this. People really want to pray. They want to pray for evangelism. They want to pray for people to become Christians. This is incredibly exciting. It's a real move of the Spirit of God. It's wonderful. I'm so excited about that. Secondly, I am really excited because this commitment of prayer will bear fruit in the lives of the prayers and in the lives of the nation. And I think that's really, really exciting.
How will you personally be getting involved?
Well, I will be getting involved personally at Canterbury, in the great celebration at Canterbury Cathedral. And I will be getting involved personally through praying for the people that I've got on my little leather cord, and the five knots I've got on my leather cord. And personally through a commitment of prayer here during that period.
Why is evangelism something that every church needs to pray for?
Every church needs to pray for evangelism for lots of reasons, or pray about evangelism, to pray for the work of God going ahead of us when we share the good news of Jesus. As I've already said, because that's the only way anything happens. Because God calls us to be his partners, to be the partners of God in this. Because Christ commands us to be involved in making disciples. And if we're obedient to Jesus, that is what we do. And because as we pray, we are filled afresh with the love of God in Jesus Christ by his Spirit. And there's the most extraordinary overflow of that love. And we're renewed in our own hearts and minds with a great longing for others to know what it is, to know that they are loved by and that they love and know God in Christ.
Finally, what do you hope will happen coming out of the week of prayer?
I hope that coming out of the week of prayer, that people will be immensely encouraged and excited by having spent a week in prayer first, and that they'll go on praying. I hope this is the beginning of an avalanche of prayer. Secondly, I hope and pray and believe that we will see God at work ahead of us in his grace and wonder, delighted that we have called out to him, working in our nation in a fresh way. And thirdly, I hope that others will see the excitement of prayer and find themselves drawn in whatever way is appropriate to them into joining in prayer.
And to find out more about Thy Kingdom Come, including where your nearest Beacon event is taking place, visit www.thykingdom.co.uk. Finally this week, Steve Williamson, the head teacher for Northern Saints Church of England Primary School in Sunderland, speaks to us about the delight of being shortlisted by the government for the Pupil Premium Award. Steve began by explaining the impact of the scheme in the lives and education of the children at Northern Saints.
The Pupil Premium is giving schools extra funding, and it raises attainment of disadvantaged pupils, that's its aim. And the funding stretches from reception class and all the way through to year 11 in secondary. So for the 2015-16 financial year, our schools received over £300,000, which is part of that amazing £2.5 billion which has been made available nationally, and we're so grateful for that. We're a fairly new, sort of non-selective Church of England primary. We were formed in 2013, and that was from two previous schools that, it's fair to say, had a checkered history of results. You know, there was some failure, and some success. It did give you an idea of that. There were one of the schools was in the bottom 200 in the country for its results, and one had been languishing in special measures for over 2 years. We made them both into good schools, but then closed them and formed the new school. So we're now Sunderland's largest school and primary school, and we're growing. We've got over 500 children in the school, and we should become three-form entry at 630 within a couple of years or so. And I suppose because we're a Church of England school and we don't admit or select pupils according to faith or previous attainment, then we're very much reflecting the community around us. So we're in receipt of funding for about half of the school pupils because we're located in an area of social disadvantage and we're in the north of the city of Sunderland. So I suppose you can imagine that in an area, you know, like many others, that's having to make cuts to local authority services at a really unprecedented rate, in my view. You know, we couldn't do without that funding, and it's providing so many learning opportunities. Things that activities that build resilience. We've got we teach academic skills. We give additional support and feedback. We're ensuring children know how to learn, and through their significant partnerships that we have. You know, for example, we partner with the Outward Bound Trust and take children on residentials, much more than you would expect in a primary school. We actually get the kids out on a residential up to Scotland for a week doing an expedition, and that teaches them very much about how do you adopt a growth mindset. And these are all aspects that they need to make them successful in later life. We use the funding as well to provide for some basic needs, and we subsidise a really very wide range of extracurricular activities. I think, you know, I'll give you an example of that. One of my favourite uses of the pupil premium is our additional pet therapy reptile room. And that is a reptile room. So we've got snakes, tree frogs, bearded dragons. I think the children even want tarantulas now. And not my cup of tea, really, but we decided we would do this. And we work in partnership with a northeast reptile shop, and they train our pupils, help them to overcome the fears. They train them to clean the animals and to handle them and to show them to others as well. And this helps the children really learn to focus their minds and as they care for them. We also see that their attendance in school improves and they apply the lessons that they've learned to their other subjects.
So your school's motto is building on firm foundations. Yep. Looking at some of the challenges pupils at your school face or have faced, how does having a strong Christian ethos help them to flourish?
Well, I think we found that as a church school, we continue to offer certainly a well-rounded, a broad and balanced curriculum. I think some of our children, for example, let's say some of our children come from homes where parents find it really difficult to read or teach their children some of the basics they need for educational success. That's through no fault of their own. But we've thought about this long and hard, and over the last 4 years, we've developed a strong partnership with Seven Stories in our two predecessor schools and as we've moved on into as Northern Saints. And Seven Stories is a national centre for children's books. It's based in Newcastle. And they've shown us some research that demonstrated that successful adults have developed a real love and enjoyment of reading, which I suppose if you can nurture it at an early age, then that could easily be replicated right across the school setting. We use the pupil premium funding to pay for a reader in residence, and the work's really transformational. It's changing our children's early reading experiences, sometimes alongside their parents who see that the reader, they see the reader, and she models how to read with a child. These sessions are really exceptional, and they add so much value. So the reader is really very much part of the school team, and she's available to staff for expert advice, and it really impacts on learning right across the whole school. You'd mentioned in terms of our firm foundations, and we have six of them, one of which, I think as Sir Winston Churchill once said, is our very much a firm belief that with opportunity comes responsibility. And that's not just to ourselves, but that's to the community. So we wanted to establish more opportunities for parents with younger children, replacing some of the family nurturing services that we've lost in the local area. We agreed with staff to make this happen, that they would actually give up their staff room, and they were quite happy to do that because we were going to build a community library in its place. And the Church of England, the local Board of Finance, helped us fund a much larger 1.8 million refurb of the school. And part of this was to create the community library. So then we started delivering something called Bookworm Babies with 7 stories. We don't have to do this, but this is what we feel impassioned to do. And it replicates a popular program that 7 stories already run with parents from the centre. And it establishes with parents and their babies good reading behaviours and supports future development. And they use that across the school as well with older children. I suppose in terms of some of the challenges that we face and the fact that children flourish, you know, is in no doubt really. But we have got, there's lots of accountability that comes with this pupil premium funding. And I'm sure Ofsted or the Regional Schools Commissioner wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should they. We've got to show that this money has impact on our attainment and our progress made by those pupils attracting the grant. Some people just focus on progress, but I believe that our children have got to focus, have got to compete, sorry, in the world market. And so we need their attainment to rise as well. And the gap in attainment between our disadvantaged pupils and their peers has all but disappeared. And all our pupils achieve equally well, and they make progress that's well in excess of the national.
There's a proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. How do you see the role of your school as part of the wider community in this?
I taught in London for 15 years, and I was often, I now say to the staff something that Sir Tim Brighouse once said to me when he was school commissioner for London. And he said, church schools should not just care about children, but they have to care about what those children become. And I've really tried to keep that in mind in the 4 schools I've been a head teacher at. And I do believe that making partnerships with key organisations up here in Sunderland, like Schools North East, across the whole of the North East, or the universities, and or the National Glass Centre that's based in Sunderland, they can create with us work that can be replicated elsewhere. It's all about bringing our Northeast community together to remove barriers to achievement. You know, I think some people have got some views about children that come from large housing estates. I came from one myself. And certainly up in the Northeast, I often hear people talk about a North-South divide. But, you know, sitting in front of me, I've got a letter from Nick Gibb MP, and he's the schools minister. And, you know, he's telling me that this Church of England Primary, we don't select. We're open to all, we serve our local community, and what's amazing is that we are in the UK 100 top performing schools for the progress that our children make. Top 100 out of 16,766 primary schools at my last count. That's just amazing. So our children are really flourishing here. They're in their super smart blazers and ties. I only wanted them for our year 6. But the children insisted. They told me they wanted them for every child in the school. So we heavily subsidise those. We don't push costs onto parents. And these children, they think, they know that they can change the world. And it's made possible because of that very strong Christian ethos. We do work closely with the local community. Just this week, for example, we have volunteers from churches and other organisations who are working with us to teach children about prayer, meditation. And so, whether these children believe in God or not, taking the time to think deeply about the needs of others, to be thankful for what we've got, to say sorry for what we have or should not have done, those are crucial to the personal development and for British values as well. You asked about the role in the school community, and just the other day, a really touching story, I feel, typifies what happens here. For the first time since we opened in 2013, the school was vandalised. Paint was thrown across the back of the buildings. You know, we're a church school. We want to serve our community. We were deeply hurt by that. So I put out a tweet, and I just said how disappointed we were. And so many parents came, and pupils came and said they just felt sorry about it. They felt ashamed it had happened. And what was remarkable is that 2 days later, 3 young men, they used to attend our school, they came to me and they were very brave. They apologised and they wanted to make amends for what they'd done. And, you know, they know that forgiveness is one of our strong Christian values. And that value, it flies in the face of the current blame culture. But I believe that's done more to transform our community than I can even begin to recognise. So, you know, we take children into our church school, children that other schools have excluded, where maybe the parents have said they didn't feel welcomed. Our staff team ensure that those children achieve just as well as any other. And certainly I'm profoundly grateful to the judges of the Pupil Premium Award for recognising that we are excelling in using that funding.
That's it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @C_of_E and like our Facebook page to stay up to date with news during the week. Thanks for listening.